And then you have 40 to 50 and anything less than 40. Think in terms of these groups. Think about your clients roughly. Which one of those is your most highest concentration in there? And if you have a large portion of your customers sitting in this group, I'm going to call that group A and group B, okay? If you have them very much on that, you do have a problem. What that means is that higher concentration of the business is actually not good for any business. The higher concentration that you have will decrease the value. Hence, we're talking about reducing risk in your business. The other things to remember is that our client's age is approximately 5 to 10 years either older or younger than your own age. Therefore, you look at your business customers' concentration can see that the only way you can diversify your customer concentration is to bring in younger advisors into your business. If you don't do that, chances are it will be quite difficult. Right. So Jose had mentioned about Rich and Stephen mentioned about they are highly concentrated in the 50 to 60 age group. That's great. Joy and I is about 60 to 70 group. That's all great. But you wanted to make sure that you properly diversify them because you do need to reduce the business risk in that. I'm going to talk about second things. Employ high yield capital. This means that you need to improve your investment decision. What do I mean by that? Each one of us are in a business that heavily rely on technology. This is a good time. If you're not too busy at the moment, this is a good time to streamline your internal process. Streamline your internal process into some automations, into some technologies, whether or not it's a fintech or any type of technologies to help your business run efficiently. That type of investment is worthwhile making because the more you make that kind of investment, the better it is for your business value to go up. The less you invest into that kind of technology, the less value you are going to have. Think about this. When someone who is going to buy a McDonald's franchise, they're not necessarily just to buy their brand. They're buying their system. It's a plug and play system. You go in, you will have revenue coming in. If your business don't have that system in place, I am not talking about software. This is mostly under your process. If you don't have a streamlined process in place, if you don't have a team of people in place to do these work, they will decrease the value of your practice. So that's the third thing. The last thing is to talk about how do we look at increasing the EBITDA. EBITDA is pretty much closest to cash. In our business, cash is very important. In any other business, cash is important. To increase the recast EBITDA, you basically have to lower your cost of goods sold, right? And control operating expenses. Previously, we talked about if you can streamline your process, have your team work together to run a very efficient company, chances are you are able to increase that EBITDA. So this is critical for you to remember that this is something that you absolutely have to do for your business, enable to increase your business value for the right direction to be in place. All right, let's take a look at another questions here. Other than the three things that I've talked about that potentially can impact a business, what are some of the adjustments could potentially impact the selling price of the practice? What are some of the adjustments that you could potentially impact that? Thank you everyone for answering some of the questions in the chat box. Okay, so what are some of the adjustments that you can think of? Health incident, okay, very good, thank you. Thank you for that. Potentially capital gain tax, yes. Education, okay, we'll come back to education in a little bit. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, capital gains. What I'm about to renewal base, yes, that's your retention ratio, right? Renewal base, typically we're talking about the retention ratio of a business. Retention of the clients and staff, quality of the revenue stream comes in. Yeah, new laws, if there's any particular type of policy changes and things like that. So great job, guys. Thank you for sharing that. So let me share with you the chart. That this is the chart that after I spoke to many, many business brokers and valuation specialists, this is what they tell me in terms of what will impact your business value. Technology platform is ranked number one. If you don't have the right technology platform in place, chances are it's not gonna get the value that people are looking for. Key person dependencies. How heavily are you as an owner be depending upon to run your business? If you are not that much dependent upon you in a business, then you're better off. Because oftentimes that if you have a key management in place, it actually will boost the value of your business. Your geographical location. The good news is that we are near the LA metro area. So geographical location is going to help you in terms of a value perspective. The quality, some of you mentioned about the quality of the revenue source, right? You mentioned that the revenue source coming in is if it's a reoccurring and the quality of the retention, it doesn't make a difference. Client retention risk, that we have talked about that previously. Market demand, we mentioned about if the market has tons and tons of business selling, it will press down the price. But also, if the buyers is having some sort of financing deal or not. When you have a different type of financing deal, potentially it will impact your final sales price. So the reason I show you all of this is that as you run your business, all of these are things that you need to constantly think about. How to structure your business, enable to make the most out of your hard work when you are ready to cash out. All right. This one is very easy, just a yes or no. Does the selling revenue multiples of a financial service practice or financial planning practice actually correlate with the size of the practice? What I mean by that is the revenue size of the practice. Does it have any correlation at all? Okay, so most of you say yes, some say no, okay. Okay, it'll be interesting to see what is the final result in here. So about 80% of you say yes, it does have correlation. All right, let's take a look at the answer that I have. Thank you very much for entering that. So this is the chart that I took by looking at the data of the actual buying and selling data. There's a company who collect these information, and I went to their website and downloaded since the 1970s all the way until 2012. All the transactions in the financial services that if whether or not there are some differences in terms of what value it matters. On the right-hand side, I have something called the specialist. On the left-hand side, I have something called the generalist. What that means is that if you find an appraiser who doesn't specialize in the financial service, who doesn't specialize in the financial advisor field, I call that a generalist. For businesses that specialize in the financial services firm as an appraiser, they tend to be able to give you a higher number of the multiples. So you can see that the larger the business, if we look at the generalist, the larger the business, this is a million and up GDC in here, that you have a higher multiples. So does the specialist. That tells me that if you are selling your business, who do you prefer to hire to appraise your business? So in the chat box, tell me, in the chat box, you have specialists who specialize in financial services firm appraiser versus someone who is not specialized in financial services firm. If you are selling your business, which type of appraiser would you prefer to hire to quote your market value? Specialist, okay, great, yep. So you get the point. if you're selling, you do want to have a specialist helping you to get that, because this is based on all the transactions done since the 70s up to this point in the financial services. And you can also see that the size of the business does make a difference in terms of the multiples that you're selling. And this is the multiples of the revenue. You take that times the revenue in terms of how much is worth from a fair market perspective. So you can see that in terms of the smaller you are, the less multiple you have. The larger you are in terms of revenue, the larger multiple it is. So there is a correlation between the size of your revenue and the selling multiple of the revenue. Keep in mind that that's the reason that you are working very hard to increase your revenue. Your revenue is not just a compensation for you, but is also an indication of how much value of your business. So here is the type of business that, as I mentioned previously, we've gone through various different type of business, but I wanted to share with you in terms of revenue size. If you are an ensemble business, you are literally your revenue. This is a revenue, not just the, it's not just the GDC is coming in as a revenue. Up to $5 million, you could call yourself an ensemble. If you are between 5 to 10, that's what we call enterprise. Then you have more than 10 million, that's a super ensemble. Here's what's the reality now. There is a big push of merger and acquisition in the market. Whether or not is the super ensemble buying this practice or buying the silo practice, or silo practice after the solo practitioner, or ensemble practice buying the silo business or solo practitioners. There's a lot of activities in the marketplace. The key is that a lot of business now has been consolidating, and the consolidation will continue to go on simply because a lot of the advisors are retiring. What I would like to remind you is be careful of a predatory acquisition. I have seen so many predatory acquisition that I just say to them, shame on you guys. You should not do that to another fellow business owners, but that happens. What that means is that a lot of business will just take advantage of a smaller firms, not knowing the owner doesn't have enough knowledge about these business transaction, and just sign away their business without knowing that somebody took advantage of them. So really, really watch out for that. Not necessarily the bigger business will be better to buy you out or a smaller business buy you out. It's really the chemistry that you see, if there's a good chemistry in place that could continue to service your clients. That's typically what the merger and acquisition happen. People tend to look for that chemistry, so they want their clients to be taken care of after the transition. Here is a recommendation if you have to look at a structure of your business. This is a recommendation that came in from a CFP board. If you have a practice, chances are you're gonna have lead advisors, you're gonna have a principal here that typically is an owner. Then you have a lead advisors. After that, you have service advisor, associate advisor, and an analyst. There are typically 5 different levels. And the reason I wanted to share this with you is that for some of you, as you are growing your practice, maybe you are buying other people's practice or you're growing organically, you want to have these layers in place so your team member has a good idea of what the career path looks like for them, right? So you can attract right people onto your team to continue to grow your business accordingly. So these are different levels that you should consider as you structure your practice. When you structure the practice for the financial advisors or financial planners, you wanted to make sure that I know that the commission is being compressed over the year. So a lot of business now has been converting to a base salary structure with an incentive compensation and benefits. So these are things that are worthwhile to consider. Lots of these, you can see that the incentive is associated with different level of the title or the role that you play within that structure. So these are something that you consider. So I took the liberty to actually look at, and I'm just going to kind of fast forward to share with you that if you were to look for a CFP as an employee in the LA area as a service advisors, that's the dollar amount you're looking at. That's the dollar amount that with the base salary about $102,000. Incentive bonus is about $16,000 or so. Additionally, there's a benefits associated with that, and that additional benefits could be the healthcare, could be the education, and so on and so forth. So this is how much it costs today to bring somebody in. So you wanted to be careful that you have a good process in place that the new members that you bring in is going to continue to boost the revenue for your firm. One thing that I do wanted to remind everyone, as you look at how to structure your business, what I always wanted to share with people is that you need to divide your company into two tracks. First track is what I call the entity equity track. The second track is management track. Not every one of your employees wants to be a partner or owner of the company. So you need to separate these two things. Entity tracks that will bring people in as an equity partner. The management track are those people who doesn't like to be an owner. They just want to do a management job. So if you have the two tracks separated, it will help your employee to see where they're going to end up with. So under the equity track, you could say senior partner, partner, and junior partner. Under the management track, you can have your typical vice president, director, or manager to manage a certain type of a team in place. Now, the other things to consider is that you to bring people in, just to give you an idea, the talents are really, really difficult to recruit today. There are many, many businesses that are bidding other people, that they are stealing other people's employees, if you will. It's a very difficult time to find good talents. So alternatively, you can do what we call the re-entry for people who is returning back to work or career changers. These are all good candidates to bring into your business. Internship, whether or not they are undergraduate students or graduate students, I've always recommend people to always have internship. Since I've been in the business since 2005, I have not have any gap of any interns in my office. I always have interns in the place because you can try. It's almost like you try before you buy. Interns allow you to observe if this is a good person to play a certain role in your business. And if they test out 3 months or sometime a year period of time, you decided to bring them in, that's great. But if they don't test out in that period of time, you can move on to somebody else. And so having interns, having career changer or return to work options could potentially increase helping you to recruit more people into your business. Here's the to-do list I like to recommend you to do. I like you to think about your business model in terms of the revenue source. I also like to have you think about, have you done your annual valuation yet? Some of your businesses are required to do valuation every other year. Some of you probably are required to do valuation every 3 years. But for your own sake, that if you are the owner of your business, please at least do some sort of valuations at least every 2 years or 3 years or so. So you have to pause on your business knowing that how much value do you actually worth today? So then you can it can help you plan. The next thing I'd like you to think about to do is think about your team structure. Do you have the right key management team structure in place? Remember, team structure is going to increase the value of your business. If you have a key management team in place, that means that your business can operate with or without you. That actually increases the value of your business. Once you have all that, then you really, really need to start thinking about succession and exit planning. If you don't know what they are now, then do both, because they are, you could have the option to eventually sell to a third party, but then if you have the option to sell internally, open the option to accept both, because you might potentially have opportunity coming in. If the time is right, if the offer is right, you may have to just move on with that. So what I'd like to ask you to do now, this will be the last questions of the session. Out of the many things that we talked about, which one of the things that are you willing to implement to your practice in 1 month? Is it hire an intern? Is it look at the business model? Is it looking at your team structures? Is it looked at to hire different type of talents coming into your business? What is it that you potentially will do within 1 month period of time? Look at the business model. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? You can, if you are not typing into the website, you can also type that in the chat box. Structure and create contracts to agents and employees. Very good. So you're going to look at your business model, look at the structure, and to create certain type of contracts in place. Yeah. I know that in FINRA stage that they're still going to, besides the succession and exit plan, you still have to have a continuity plan in place regardless. Yeah, look at the business structure. So great. Thank you very much. Yeah, so Stan talks about hiring. John talks about diversifying client base. Great. I'm glad to hear that all of these potentially could be an option for you in terms of working with your business. So with that, I'm going to turn the floor back to Joanne for questions. And if you have questions, you simply unmute yourself to ask the questions, and I'll do the best I can to answer your questions. So Joanne?
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dr. Chien. Thank you. So yeah, if you have any questions, please let us know. We'll check it out on the chat box. Or if you'd like to unmute yourself, you can do that and ask a question.
Hi, I'm Jose.
Hi, Jose. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So this is no mistake that I'm going through what this class is about, because since December of last year, I've been having this conversations of what you're just sharing today. And good. I've acted a little bit ahead of time and being able to create what you said, the structure of it, how to
very good.
Creating with NAFA and its people that are associated with it, trust mm-hmm. them to know that they're going to be leading me the way towards what I really want to get my exit plan to.
Okay.
I don't want to do this again. This is right. hard work.
You wanted to do it once and do it successfully out.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I don't want to do this again. Because right. Not because I don't want to, just I don't have to.
Right, you don't have to. And you deserve to have that cash out moment successfully. Yes. Yes. But with that cash out moment, it needs a lot of planning behind the scene to right. make it work. So thank yeah. you, Jose, for mentioning that.
But my question is, now I'm in that part where I'm structuring my team. So can you elaborate a little bit more about team structure, please?
Yeah, I can. Bear with me. Let me swing back to the slide. Just bear with me. Let me copy this link for you. So let me copy this link real quick for you. I'm going to put it into a chat box. So in the chat box, I have the link of the slide that you can download. Okay, let me talk a little bit about, let me swing back to the structure of the team. Share my screen. Okay.
By the way, this type of class today, mm-hmm. of Zoom call has been the best I've ever experienced.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Joanne did a great job. So the structure that I have, I pull out the structure of the materials here. What I would like to point out to you is that if you're really thinking about the structure, there are things that I mentioned earlier. You need to think about equity. So this needs to have a track, equity track and management track. You have to keep in mind, not all of your employees wants to be on the equity side. Some of them just want to be on the management side. So then you can decide how that structure is. But in here, these level of the structure of the team members, if you will, it has something to do with the competencies of what they do day to day. I'm happy to share with you from the CFP board, they do have this structure in place. They specify specifically what role they play for your business. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna send that to Janet, and then Janet can send it out to everyone. So the structure here is giving you some idea of how you should structure. So people have a way to see, I'm gonna start here and I will move up to the associate advisors, and I can move up to service advisor is the one that they start client service. They have a client-facing role. Anybody else have a client-facing role, service advisor and up? Anybody who is associate and analyst, those are the people who stay behind the scene. So that's kind of the structure in place. Now, the most important thing about this structure is not necessarily a structure itself, is the process. You have to remember your process, Jose, your process in your business is your intellectual property. That's worth a lot of money. So you need to think about, besides the team in place, do I have process or processes that can help me structure my intellectual property? Because everyone's practice is very similar. What's different is your intellectual property. Yeah. So if you can have that streamlined process in place, documentations in place, system with the people connecting, integrating together, that's going to give you the best value of that.
You're talking about copyright. Mm-hmm. You're talking about copyrights and brand.
It doesn't have to be a copyright at all. It doesn't have to be at all. It will be probably very specific to you in your business.
But so how do you put a price? How do you create that process of an intellectual property to be determined, or how can you locate and ensure that
so
the value of it?
Mm-hmm. So typically what the appraiser will look for, especially in the financial services, we don't have warehouse, we don't have any of that. So what we look for is processes. For example, a process, let me describe a process to you. So a client walks through the door, but before that, you have a marketing, right? First, you run the marketing, the clients walk through the door, you have a sales process in place. When the sales go through, then after the sales go through, you have a referral process in place. From a referral process in place, you have a customer service process in place. Every single module is integrated. That's process. And that works very different from company to companies. So if you have those streamlined processes in place and you have a clear documentation in place and integrated with automations and system in place, that's the key. That's where the value comes in.
So where do I go to learn about this further, about each, because I'm sure that each one of us has our own different structures, because we have different
That's right.
ways of how we've evolved in this industry.
Right.
So
there are a couple of things you can do. You could either go take a class about process, or you could hire a consultant to do this. I don't know if NAFA actually has a service provider to do this or not. I typically facilitate these kind of process meeting with advisors or planners practice, or even business owners practice. So I'm happy to provide some resources for you afterwards. Hopefully that you can, if you are do-it-yourselfer, then just, you can do that too. All right, thank you, Jose.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, do we have any other questions for Dr. Chien? Okay, seeing that there are none, I'd like to bring Michael Morris on. He wants to promote or bring some information on Impact Hour and some upcoming town halls from NAFA. So, thank you, Dr. Chien.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Chien. This
you're
was
welcome.
Excellent. Thank you so much. You. I wanted to just provide a couple things for everyone. I know you all like technology and like meetings. So NAFA's been having lots of meetings online. Using Zoom. So I'm going to paste a link so that everyone can participate in a couple more events. These are free events to NAFA members. And we're going to have some renowned speakers, including Joe Jordan next week. If you've ever seen him, he's definitely worthwhile. I'm going to send this to the group. And then also another person that they're going to have is David McKnight. So if you click on that link, you can see the speakers. Joe Jordan is just an industry veteran of about 50 years who's got a great message, especially in light of this COVID-19 situation. The other person, David McKnight, he talks about the power of zero and emphasizes how essentially, you know, we're taking on more and more debt as a country, and how our products and services are well positioned for that type of environment, basically to minimize taxes for our clients. So those two are two events. They're an hour each, similar to this. It's free to NAFA members, and feel free to share it with your colleagues. you know, ultimately what this is about is getting the word out, and we're only as strong as our members, so we need more members. Share the story, you know, have access to events just like this with distinguished speakers like Dr. Chien. So the other thing is next week on Wednesday, the state of California, here's a link to a free Zoom meeting as well. We're going to have an update for all NAFA California members. It's going to include information about what's going on federally regarding the CARES Act, and also what's going on statewide with regards to some of the issues we're having with the legislature and some pieces of legislation that are coming out. And third thing is going to be more resources for COVID-19 for your clients and such. And lastly, you'll hear from people from our state board, including our state president, about what NAFA California is doing to improve things for our members. So check out the two links I shared. Feel free to reach out to anyone on the state board. We've got state board members on the call. Actually, Rich Coffin just chimed in that the town hall sessions are available on the website if you can't make the meetings live. But we've also got our local board members, John Hansborough, Monty Merkin, Joanna DeLosa is our president. So we're all here to, and Bobby, of course, she's there as well. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you very much. And thank you all for coming in for our webinar today. And again, thank you so much, Dr. Chien. It was fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, have a nice day, everyone. And we hope to see you again soon. Take care. Stay healthy.
Thank you, Joanna. Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Yeah. Thank you, Jose.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.